This is a message from sponsor Intuit TurboTax. You've sent so many emails to your tax pro and nothing. It feels like you're chasing updates. But now your taxes are done for you by a TurboTax expert, so you actually know what's happening. You can match with an expert and just hand off all your tax stuff to them right in the app. So instead of guessing, you can feel confident your TurboTax expert's on it. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Visit TurboTax.com to learn more. Only available with TurboTax experts. Real-time updates only in iOS mobile app.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance on this 12th day. It's a very special day, and I want to I want to dedicate tonight's radio program to two ladies that were born on this day. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that a little later on. But right now, you know, he sits in there and he anxiously awaits his nefarious introduction. you know, as of now, some are referring to him, those old guys are referring to him as the wild thing, okay? But I'm not one of them. Oh. No, sir. To me, he's my son in the faith. So, go ahead, Junior.
You start calling me Wild Thing. I think Dick Kemp's estate might have something to say about that. So I don't know about that one.
All right. Now, listen, he takes a lot of good kidding around here, but he does a great job. We appreciate him, don't we?
Yes. Sure do.
All righty. I know Richard was saying we never really expected much out of him, but no, only kidding. Only kidding. And then you have. Well, you know, she's unrelenting in her search for the key to the women's bathroom.
Oh, dear.
Are we all witness to that, fellas?
Oh, all witness.
We're all witness to that.
Witness. Oh, dear.
Okay, that means more to her than oxygen.
Oh, dear.
She wants that key, folks. Okay.
Oh, good evening, everyone.
He's another one of God's dedicated pastors, preachers, and teachers, and none other than my old, longtime friend, Pastor Richard Lewis.
Welcome, everyone. Glad to be here.
Now, he's a great big guy, and he's got a great big heart. He loves to pray, and he loves to serve the Lord. And he even carries gospel tracts in his beard.
That's right.
That's true. I've seen it.
Yeah. There you go.
Good evening, everyone. Our God still saves.
The elder Randall Barkley. We have a lot to talk about tonight. I told you I wanted to dedicate this, and I want to start out by saying today's March 12th. On this day, two of the most wonderful ladies I ever met were born. And here's a strange story. It's a story that really should be in those DVDs. These two ladies showed up some years ago. I would probably say more than 40 years ago. They showed up to volunteer in the ministry, helping in the pro-life ministry to save babies. And here, both of them were born. Now, they showed up the same time. They didn't know each other. They were both born on March 12th. They both, now listen to this, they both married men named Jim. They both had, is it three or four brothers, no sisters. They were the only girl with three or four brothers, no sisters, both of them. They both married men named Jim, and they both had sons named Jim. And they both come, and they both were a blessing to me. And unfortunately, both of them died of cancer around the same time, too.
Wow.
Now, that's just, you know, went home to be with the Lord. I mean, just amazing. And you knew Marge Beal and Richard.
Sure, Mary, I did. Mm-hmm.
And Mary Stouffer, you knew both of them.
Yep.
And two really wonderful ladies. So I wanted to dedicate this program to those two wonderful ladies tonight. I miss them very, very much. We really do. And how fast time goes by, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. It's just amazing.
Yeah, we're born to die. So, you know, these bodies don't last forever. I'm constantly mentioning that to people because I don't care how well you eat or how much you exercise or whatever you do, that the bodies are going to die. We're going to wear out.
My wife and I were sitting and watching this woman running, and I says, you know, I remember when I used to do that, and she started laughing. She said, yeah, and she says, I remember when you were jogging, you got in that jogging thing back some years ago, and she said, you went and bought me one of those jogging outfits, and I never wore it.
Oh, man.
Oh. Never wore it. Oh. Anyhow, the title of the message was, God really does mean what he said. God really does mean what he said. A lot of people don't believe that today.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through this message, and in this message today we talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly, and three types of churches today. And this week we've gone through the good, the fundamentalist, Bible-believing, God-serving, Matthew 25 church. Well, we went through the bad, which would be the Church of Laodicea, that the prosperity church and the mega church type. Today, it's the ugly, and that's the apostate church. And the apostate church, those that embrace liberation theology, the teachings of one, you might remember Richard Jürgen Moltmann from the University of Tübingen here. You know, he taught that Christ was only an eschatological hope. In other words, one of the things that he taught was that up until now, what Christ did really has little significance. It's what he's going to do when he returns that matters. And so, but he's not. His salvation for the people are not the salvation that you and I look and count as salvation. That salvation he's referring to is when the Lord Jesus comes back and he's going to redistribute the wealth. He's going to take the wealth from the rich people and he's going to redistribute it amongst the collective, you know, amongst the masses. And like what communism wants to do.
Yeah. Starts in socialism and turns into communism.
Yes.
DEI, where everyone is equally destitute, is how it works under communism. They're all equally destitute. Well, he ran into a fellow named Ernst Bloch, who also taught. He was a Marxist philosopher, the professor there at the University of Tübingen. And those two came together, and they try to combine the teachings of Christ with the teachings of Karl Marx. And that's what they came up with, liberation theology, which was picked up by a lot of your apostate churches today. Okay. And especially, I know when I was down in South America, it was taught both by the Pentecostal, some of those, and the Catholic Church down there. They had picked up on that. And so salvation wasn't through repentance, according to them, and having the redeeming blood of Christ applied. It was just about the redistribution of wealth taken from the minority and distributed among the masses, taken from the majority and the minority wealthy and distributed among the masses by the elite and the collective. you know, Rick Warren tried something like that. Do you remember what Rick Warren did? It was called Chrislam. He tried to combine the teachings of Christ with the teachings of Muhammad.
Hmm.
No. It was the idea of Rick Warren. And you know who was behind that with Rick Warren? Was Obama.
Oh, really?
Barack Obama was involved in that with Rick Warren. And so they teach that their theology is that the end justifies the means. You can embrace everything that God calls sin as long as there is equity among the masses. Even if that means everyone is equally impoverished, the ugly church, and today we see that in the United Church, the UCC, United Church, the Episcopal, a lot of your world, your national council of churches, where they've totally apostatized.
Mm-hmm.
Many of the United Church of Christ, the Presbyterian, many of the liberal Presbyterians, the Pilgrim, a lot of the what they call liberal Baptist church, or they're not Baptist at all. All of these are apostate Protestant. They're all apostate Protestant churches. And so here they embrace everything that God calls sin. They embrace abortion, euthanasia, sodomy, pedophilia, prostitution, even bestiality, transgender, and all of that. And so today we're going to start in Isaiah chapter 5. And if you want to read verses 18 through 21, go ahead, Richard. Isaiah 18 through 20. Read a verse at a time. Let's look at it verse at a time.
Okay. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with a cart rope.
He's talking about how that they take their sin and they flaunt their sin in front of God. They pull it. And in the next verse, they're asking you, go ahead and read the next verse.
And they say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it, and let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it.
So he's saying, let's flaunt and parade our sin like LGBTQ, flying the sodomite flag, like abortion rights protest. Like, let's flaunt that in front of God, and let's see what a holy and a just God will do when confronted with our sin. That's not a smart thing, is it?
You know? No.
I mean, how smart is that, folks?
Right.
Okay. And so, go ahead and read the next verse.
Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
So what do? They say killing babies is their constitutional right. It's a good thing. It's a form of freedom, okay? They say that sodomy, what they call a sodomite, the practice of sodomy, is actually superior lifestyle to regular normal lifestyle, okay? They will tell you right now, they're one of the things that in a number of states they're trying to legalize prostitution. That prostitution is freedom, and it's a woman's right to do what she wants with her body. Okay, they're telling you, no matter what that sin is out there, that they're embracing that sin. And then go ahead and read the next verse.
Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight.
Well, the Bible says, what about those over there professing themselves to be wise? They became what?
Fools.
Okay. And they are. Wouldn't it be better to let God's word, the Bible, be the deciding factor on what is wise and what is not?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
And so,
that's, you're talking about Rick Warren and some of these other people. You know, why start another religion when we have a perfect Bible to follow? You know, why would you want to change it only for your own selfish needs?
Well, the same reason that the nation of Israel wanted a heathen king. and not God, because they
hide
didn't
their
wanna,
sins.
They didn't want to. They thought God's rules. They wanted a little bit of. They wanted to be have some freedom with their sin. That's what it is.
Yes.
Basically, they wanted to sin. Okay. And so, let me ask you this: in God's word, you know, thou shalt not. God gives us a few things, not many, that we shall not do. But how many things does God leave for us to do? I mean, we have a whole lot of freedom in Scripture, right? We have liberty, right?
Absolutely.
And the Apostle Paul says, all things are lawful for me. Not all things are expedient, okay? But they're lawful for us, okay? And so here, and you know, when you're talking about the left today, if you read over there in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2, it really describes the left. It says, a wise man will turn towards his right, but a fool would always turn towards the left. Then we see a decision had to be made. The Lord Jesus was crucified between two men upon a cross. The one on the right repented of his sin, asked the Lord for forgiveness, and he ended up in heaven. The one on the left didn't fare so well, okay? He didn't have such a good day, all right? And then if we go to Matthew chapter 25, the Lord talks about those on his right will inherit the kingdom, okay? But those on his left, well, things didn't end well for him, do they, okay?
No.
Now, let me ask you this, Richard. Do these apostate preachers know that, what we just said? Do they know what the Bible teaches, and are they knowingly doing exactly what it says here? Woe unto them that call good evil and evil good, but darkness for light and light for darkness, but bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter.
I think some of them are willfully ignorant, meaning that they choose not to know these things. But there are some that know this that are willfully do it. So I think you have two camps there, really. People that they don't want to know the truth. They don't spend time reading the Bible. They spend time, you know, working on their own agenda. Or there's ones that do know, but they don't want to hear it.
Well, I'm just thinking, how smart is that? I mean, knowing this, that a holy God and a just God must punish sin. And knowing now the Lord Jesus said that the greater your knowledge, the more responsible you are. And remember when they asked him why he speaks in parables, and he said to these people, and he said, because they're not going to receive what I have to say, and it's better for them, more merciful, if they don't understand. But some of these apostates, they know what it says. They just don't want to comply with the word of God. And so if we go over, in fact, to, I think they're described pretty well in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And read verses 12 through 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse. Randy, everybody knows I can read. You go ahead.
But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into the angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works.
There you go. See here. Now, first in verse 12, what does he say? But what I do, I will do, that I may cut off occasion for them that desire occasion, that wherein they glory, that they may be found even we. So in other words, the apostates of Paul's day were saying, look, we're prophets, and just like, and we're apostles, just like Paul and Peter. And he's saying, no, you're not either. And the reason for that, if you go to verse 4, he says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." That word there is different than the word we bear, okay? That word there means to push against. You push against to get him, push him away. And so...
Yeah, Romans 1 talks about God giving people over to a reprobate mind, too.
Yeah.
So these people that embrace sin, talking about all these individuals that are embracing sin, eventually God's going to just walk away and let them over to a reprobate mind.
Well, yeah, and, you know, James 1:22 says, "Be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self." There are people that will, they will, out of convenience, try to justify their sin. In other words, try to justify their actions to the point where they start believing that. They start actually believing what they're saying, okay? And, in fact, you know, here, turn over to Matthew chapter 7. And read verses 21 through 23, Matthew 7.
"Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord,
right,
I know it by heart." Go ahead.
"Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, you got some folks here that, you know, you might be able to lie to yourself and get away with it, but you can't lie to God and get away with it, okay?
Right.
You can't do it, okay? "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" Okay, so if whatever they were doing, if they were doing it in his name, were they doing it for the Lord, or were they doing it for their own gratification?
Their own gratification.
Yes.
Okay, so.
They were doing it their own way, too. They weren't lining up with the scriptures.
Yeah.
Yep. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity." Actually, that word right there, iniquity, in the Greek means lawlessness. You that practice lawlessness, that are in and total disobedience of God's laws.
And, and Isaiah 53, 5 and 6 tells us iniquity is also doing things our own way, not God's way.
So let me ask you this then here, because, you know, over the years, you know, I have not been silent. I've talked about where our Lord has been dishonored and disrespected to Moses right from the pulpits of what churches are supposed to be.
Yeah.
So if the church really believed that God really meant what he said, I mean, if they really believed that God really meant what they said, would we have 150 million dead babies by abortion?
No.
Absolutely not.
Would we have 500,000 missing children that are missing? No. Okay. Would we have LGBTQ to be not only legal, but allowed to be promoted in the public school system? Would we be? Would they be flying the sodomite flag at the White House? You know, God called sodomy an abominable thing, an abomination. Okay, he said sodomites should not be touched with hands. Okay, and yet today, if you go with, you listen like to Spectrum One News and that, the way that they talk about LGBTQ, they talk about it as a preferred lifestyle. Okay.
Yeah.
The way they do that. Okay. And so, but how many of those churches out there today are much more interested in building projects, taking cruises, luxury cruises, then they are standing hard and pushing and fighting hard back against these horrible sins. The Bible tells us that we are to, and from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Don't look, like a whole lot like the majority. Only a very small minority of us pastors actually believe that.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
You look like a Christian.
Look like an angel.
Walk like a Christian.
Walk like an angel.
Talk like a Christian. Lord, I got wise. You're a liberal in disguise.
Oh, yes, you are.
A liberal in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. You fooled me with deception. You fooled me with your lies. Heaven help me before I saw the liberal in your eyes. You look like a Christian.
Look like an angel.
Walk like a Christian.
Walk like an angel.
Talk like a Christian. But I got wise. You're a liberal in disguise.
Oh, yes, you are. Liberal in disguise.
Oh, yes, you are. I thought you would go to heaven, but I was sure surprised. Heaven helped me before I saw the liberal in your eyes. You look like a Christian.
Look like an angel.
Walk like a Christian.
Walk like an angel.
Talk like a Christian. But I got wise. You're a liberal in disguise.
Oh, yes, you are.
A liberal in disguise.
Oh, yes, you are.
You're a liberal in disguise.
Oh, yes, you are. A liberal in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. A liberal in disguise. Oh, yes, you are. A liberal in disguise.
Oh, yes, you are. We have none other than Paul Schiffer. What do you want, Paulie?
Well, yeah, thanks for putting me on, Pastor.
I've been putting you on for years.
Minutes or whatever.
Hey, listen.
What's that?
I said, I've been putting you on for years. But I got to tell you, I certainly am not happy that you're not here. And I'll tell you why. Because, Paul, we're going into midterms. And if there's ever a time a program like your program is needed here in Northeast Ohio, it's right now. Because you did the real thing. I mean, you go to where a lot of us don't go to, and, boy, I'm going to tell you, I'm kind of not happy at all with the fact that you're not on the air, so I might just beat some people up out here. I'm not sure who.
Go to that extent, and I know you won't.
If management is listening.
I appreciate your show. And we've known each other going back to 1985 when you were on the radio station down in Brecksville, I think, Abbey Road, off of Abbey Road.
Yeah,
you mentored me a little bit, and myself and our good friend Jim Cluse, we've been through a lot together, and I appreciate your pro-life stand, but I appreciate your sentiments, Pastor. I've been off the air now. They took me off suddenly. About 3 weeks ago was my last show. Today would be the third week not on. And for the people that have been listening to my show that's been back on the air about 4 years, I regret being off the air, but I just couldn't sustain the cost. And I'm trying to get back on. The station management is allowing me to get back on the air if I can next week. But I've got to raise some money, and so I need the donations. And they took me off 3 weeks ago thinking that, well, maybe I would get off and the donations would come in, but it's all stopped. Nothing's come in because they haven't heard me on the air. But there's some hope. I've been praying about it. And I'd use my own money if I could, but my car broke down 2 weeks ago. I'm trying to get it repaired and I can't get up to the station. So that's cut me off from doing what I need to do to get back on the air. So hopefully, God willing, I'll be back on the air Thursday evenings from 5 after 7 till 8, the Schiffer Report, and continuing what I was doing.
Well, I'll make a donation next week when you come in. I'll make a donation myself to help you get back on the air. And so,
and there's somebody's, I appreciate that, Pastor, and you've been a help of many times in the past, and I appreciate you letting me on to tell. See, I didn't have the chance to be able to tell my audience, which is the show right before yours on Thursday evenings, 7 to 8. I didn't get a chance to relay it. In fact, 3 weeks ago was the first night they had booted me off, and I got over 12 phone calls or more from people asking me where the heck I was. And I said, well, they took me off. They call it a temporary hiatus, and I plan to be back next week. And look at all that's happened since I've been off the air. The great State of the Union address, the Iran attack, and they're ramping things up against Cuba. And then I'm still following all the news and studying every day and doing what I can as though I'm going to be on again soon. You know,
well,
you always got to be prepared.
You're always having
you're
an open invitation.
You're still doing a great job.
Yeah. You have an open invitation to sit in with me until you get back on.
Well, thanks. Thanks. And maybe I will if I'm allowed back on the air next week. But people have got to send donations, and I've got the address to give out real quick if people don't have it written down or forget. If you want to send a donation or love offering to keep my show, The Schiffer Report, on the air Thursday evenings from 7 to 8, then send a check to Paul Schiffer, S-C-H-I-F-F-E-R. My address is 2434 Whipple Avenue Northwest. That's 2434 Whipple Avenue Northwest. Whipple spelled W-H-I-P-P-L-E. Down in Canton, Ohio, 44708. You're very familiar with Canton. You've been down there. You started me off in the pro-life movement.
That was many years ago. Yeah.
Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. Are you there?
Okay. Yeah, my phone dropped a second. But at any rate, I really do appreciate your concern and giving me a chance to let my audience know, your audience know, and there's some intermingling here in Northeast Ohio. And hopefully I can get some donations on in to come back on the air next Thursday evening, 7 to 8. Thanks for all you're doing.
All right, and I encourage folks to support you. Like I said, I'll have supporter. I miss the back and forth with you in style. I see my influence there, and really I find it quite entertaining. So,
oh, thanks. Right. I try to do my best to inform the audience, and I take the lead off of you. You trained me in this back in 1985. And another friend of our, both of ours back in the day, who used to be a Christian activist, Ray Jeske, he helped in that process too.
Yeah, I haven't heard from him in years.
I haven't either. I think I saw him at a prayer meeting about 10 years ago down in Canton. You know, he's in Akron, Ohio.
Wow.
He, as of 5 years ago, he was still owning a sports station, and he does a good job with that, but I always thought that he was, you know, he should have just stayed in Christian radio. But at any rate, I appreciate you letting me on the air, and Style's doing a great job. And let's hope I can get back in action next Thursday night.
We'll keep you in prayer on that, too. And like I said, I'll make a donation when you get back next Thursday night. In fact,
I appreciate it, Pastor Sanders. And everybody in the room there, Lisa and the other two, just thanks for what you're doing.
You know, it's not about us. It's about the cause is a righteous cause. You know, we're living in a time. I got to tell you, listen, these midterms are very, very important, folks. These midterms are very, very important. And, Richard, you know that God's Word, the Bible, tells us, again, we mentioned it, from Genesis to Revelation, resistance to tyranny is always obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience to God. And here he tells us we to run to the battle, run to it, okay, not away from it. And here You know, if the people don't awaken, if they do what they normally do during the midterms, the Republicans, shame on them, you know, because if you won't stand and fight for freedom, look, the freedom we have was paid for by the blood of those born before us. And, yeah, let's do that right now.
Let's pray for Paul right now and for God's will to be done with this.
And then we'll pray for our military all over the world. But go ahead.
Amen. Father God, we just come before you. Truly, we thank you, Lord God, that you are sovereign. You said that men are always to pray and not to faint. And so, Father God, we lift up Paul Schiffer and his radio ministry, Lord God. We know that the kingdom of God is suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. And so, God, we are calling on you to touch the hearts of the people, to not only call into the station and request them back, but, Lord God, with the monetary, Lord God, gifts that they can provide to help right now. And Father God, we know that you are able, Father God, to take the little as you did with the fish and loaves of bread and multiply it, Father God, that it would be a blessing for the many. And so, Father God, we pray that the resources would begin to come in. Father God, we just pray that you would open up the windows of heaven for him, give him strength and increase his faith right now, Lord God, during this difficult time, to let him know that you are with him, Lord God, and you will see him through this. You are the author and the finisher of his faith. And so, God, we pray that you would be with him, Lord God, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Richard, would you pray for not just our military, but also for all of, you know, there's been about 60,000 Christians killed in Iran, and they claim that any and all that are going to protest will die. So would you pray for the end of this war, for victory over and the removal? Right here in this country right now, we have a lot of sleeper cells, a lot of them. And the Communist Party, the Democratic Communist Party, is supporting them. Right now in New York City, you have the mayor, Moron Mandummy, who has taken all the chairs out of the City Hall, you know, where they meet, and they replaced it with prayer rugs. And and New Jersey, what is it, Paterson, New Jersey, and of course in Michigan, all over, Muslims are trying to do here what they did in London, in England, all over. And so if people don't stand up and push back, and let me tell you this, you can, and I'm very serious, if we get into a shooting war, the Democrats will side with the enemies of America. They will side with the enemies of freedom.
Yeah, let's just go to our Heavenly Father. Dear Father God, we just come before thy throne to lift up this country, Lord, what's going on with it. And we would just ask, Heavenly Father, we've enjoyed the freedoms of this country, and we, as a whole, have set back sometimes on our laurels. And, Lord, we just would ask for a mighty miracle to give us strength to be able to get back to your principles in this country and start electing and holding true to the principles that you teach in your word, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And we want to lift up the military, the men and women that are fighting in this war that's going on in Iran, and also throughout the whole world, Lord. There's our military is spread out all over, and also the veterans that have come out of the military, Lord. We just ask for a blessing upon all of these people. Help them to stand for the truth, and we know the word is the truth, Lord. So we would ask for that they would stand up and fight for that. And you know, we understand, Lord, that over in Iran, but all over the world, actually, there's brothers and sisters in Christ. We know Christianity is not a United States religion. It's a worldwide religion, if you want to address it as that. But it's our belief in Jesus Christ. And we have brothers and sisters in Iran. They're being killed because of the Muslims out over there, and also throughout the world, over in some of the countries in Africa, they're being slaughtered daily, daily they're being killed.
Nigeria.
Nigeria. It's just the numbers are staggering. How many people standing up for Christ that are dying. And I know you hear their blood, Lord. You hear their blood crying out.
Crying out.
And we just would just ask, Lord, that you would just send your angels. We ask for a mighty, mighty power and a mighty miracle, Lord. This war that's going on in Iran, we just pray that you could bring that to a resolution to have peace over there and to allow us as a country to stand for your principles, Lord. So many of the politicians in that just give lip service to so-called Christianity. They say they're Christians, and they don't act like it. And so we would just ask, Heavenly Father, that you would just open up your arms and just give us those blessings, Lord, that you would grant us that and help us to maintain the freedom of this country as a Christian nation. I know Christianity is not a nation thing, but as Christian principles, Lord, the United States was founded on biblical principles, and we would just ask Heavenly Father that you would continually guide us and direct us in that way. In Jesus Christ's name, we do pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
Well, thanks for inviting me, you three, on your program. I love you guys, and I hope to get back on the air next Thursday, but I need those donations. In conclusion, I've got two things to say really quick. My website is theschifferreport.com. That's still up and running, thanks to Style. That's his baby, theschifferreport.com. And also my cell phone number is 216-276-8257. Feel free to call anytime. Thanks, you three, for doing a good work, and hope to see you back in the I'll be back in the studio hopefully next Thursday at 7 o'clock. Take care. God bless you, and thanks again.
Thanks, Paul. God bless, my friend. Yeah.
Thank you, Paul.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Take care.
All righty. Tomorrow, I'll tell you where I'll be, Lord's willing, tomorrow with you guys. That's bringing America back to life. Mm-hmm. That's tomorrow and Saturday. And tomorrow, I will be at the Embassy Suites right down the road from where we're at right here in Independence. Mm-hmm. And the address is 5800 Rockside Road Boulevard. It's right off I-77 and I-480 on Rockside. They're going to have a tremendous amount of national speakers here. We've had some of them on the radio program, folks. And this is probably the largest pro-life event in the country. And I would come out because we listen. The killing of children and euthanasia right now, like in Canada, they can euthanize you for anything. If you feel depressed, all you have to do is say, you know, I just feel depressed. I just don't, and they'll kill you. They'll kill you. Okay?
Yeah, that's so true.
And crazy. Deuteronomy 30 tells you, verse 18, I set before you this day life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life.
Choose life.
And we're supposed to do that, right?
That's right.
And so, folks, come on out. This is, you know, boy, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. We're running out of time. Things are happening very quickly. And for many of you, you know, this country could be on fire from coast to coast. We have these sleeper cells, and right now they're being activated all across the country. How many, just in the last couple of days, how many attacks have you heard today?
Yeah, cars one rammed the White House, and
another just went in, went into a mosque, and they're in Michigan, and I mean they're all over the place today. So, but you had the others there. You had there in New York at the protest where they were protesting Islam, radical Islam that wants to, turn us into a Sharia law nation. And you had these two ISIS who profess to be from ISIS. Mm-hmm. So what does Moran Mandami, the mayor of New York, say but that these two were inspired by white supremacists? That was the white supremacist that now, Are there Democrats out there that will believe that? Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes.
They will. So it's an amazing thing. But anyhow, you know, in fact, speaking of amazing things, you know, we just talked about the ugly, the apostate church. And here's a guy that just, he beat out Jazzy Crockett, you know, in the primary.
Yeah.
To run for her congressional seat. This guy, his name is James Tallarico. This guy, man, he is a real space cadet.
Yeah.
Now, listen to what he has to say about the Lord Jesus. I mean, here's a guy, and he professes himself to be a minister. He says, God is both masculine and feminine and everything in between. Can you tell me what is in between masculine and feminism?
Crazy.
I don't know anything. Okay, now, he says God is a non-binary. Really?
Yeah, non-binary.
So, in other words, let me see if I've got this right here. Father God, our Father God, is non-binary. Okay. What is he missing there? Okay. Here, now, but see, this guy will take off. I mean, he's really... This is a true Democrat. This is a true Democrat here. Here, he explains to a church audience how important it is for transgender individuals to receive abortion services. Okay? In other words, these men that who want to participate in women's sports, these biological men, you know, that aren't really sure what they're supposed to do with the Tampax that Timmy Walz gives them, or our governor out there in California, Newsom, that they should be able to have an abortion if they can get pregnant. You see? Now, I mean, do you think it would be hard for us to explain to them that men don't get pregnant?
It wouldn't be difficult for us to explain it, but for them to comprehend, apparently so.
Yes. Hmm.
Okay. here, before we go further, I want to acknowledge that our trans community needs abortion care, too. He says defending trans Texans is something that we have to do every day of the state capitol. The National Republic Senate Committee, who obtained a clip of Tallarico's bragging about how Jesus Christ was a radical feminist. Jesus, do you hear this? Okay. Did they teach you in Sunday school that Jesus Christ was a radical feminist? Tallarico boasts. Well, like most Democrats, Tallarico does not know how many sexes there are. The correct answer is two. I mean, you believe that, right?
Yes.
All my life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see how much you know. Lisa, what are the two sexes?
Male and female.
There you go.
All right.
Wow.
All right, see that? Lisa knows. All right. And you know what? I knew that when I was in second grade in school. I don't want to sound like I'm bragging.
Well, right. When you were born, you know who your mama was.
Yeah.
She was take feeding you. And you know the other guy in the room was daddy.
Right. And I knew.
I mean, it's not too hard. Even a child can understand that.
People would say to me, is that your mom? And I'd say, she's a woman. Because I knew what a woman was, okay? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And if they say, well, what is a woman? Like at Chimpanzee Jackson, she didn't know what a woman was. I would say a woman is a mother, a grandmother, an aunt, a sister, a daughter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what a woman is.
Yes.
They didn't know that, did they, out there today? But then if they knew these things, then we wouldn't have the squat, right? We wouldn't have right. AOC and that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, it looks like there's just another ignorant person being put into politics. It beats out one and another one appears.
I want all of us to be aware of that modern science recognizes that there are many more than two biological sexes, Tallarico says. Let me tell you, with science of old, legitimate science, as he tells you, science not falsely so called, but real science also defines a fool. A fool is defined very clearly over there, okay? And you spell fool, T-A-L-A-R-I-C-O. I mean, folks, Tallarico, unbelievable. Now, during an interview with Joe Rogan last year, Tallarico tried to justify abortion by using the story of Mary's Annunciation. That man is an absolute fool, an absolute fool. So, alrighty. We're coming up to a break here soon. Richard, you have an article there.
Yeah. This is a little long. Let me give you a quick short one here. This is talking about this van smashed into the White House security barricades. It's interesting. The article says the black van smashed into the security barrier at the White House this morning. The driver was quickly arrested. Here is a statement from the D.C. Metro Police Department. On Wednesday, March 11th, at approximately 6:37 a.m., MPD officers responded in the vicinity of the White House to assist the United States Secret Service after a van drove through the barricades at Connecticut Avenue and H Street Northwest. There are no reported injuries at this time, and the van operator was apprehended, and the investigation is ongoing. And we were just talking about how these sleeper cells, you know, a lot of times when they're doing these things, they're trying to draw attention one way so something else is going on.
Well, President Trump was just asked about the sleeper cells. Are you aware of them? He says not only was he aware of them, he says, but our military is very aware of them, and our military knows right where they're at and right who they are.
Okay? Oh, really?
Yeah. But let me tell you, it's an interesting thing because there was I'm listening to a talk show host this morning, back on the way here, and he was saying he's been talking about this for 10 years. Back in the 1990s, in the early 1990s, we were telling you then that we've had these sleeper cells in America ever since then.
Oh, yeah.
We had them back there. In fact, here, Concord, New York City firefighters, very angry after bosses, Muslim firefighters making startling change to the 9/11 memorial area for Ramadan. And here, within two blocks from where the trade buildings that were bombed, okay. Two blocks from that, where all of those people died, 3,000 were killed by Muslims. Mm. The Muslims are setting up their little whatever. Unbelievable. So, in an insensitive, if not outright brazen display, I'll pick this up when I come back. Unbelievable what's taking place today.
Yes.
Yeah.
You told her by total disrespect. We're coming up to the count. He's famous for the count. Oh. Everybody asks, if you know style, do you know style? I say, yeah, he can count. You see? 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
We'll be right back.
There you go.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org.
Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.